So I was a bit surprised when Kristen, the first song she decided we were going to sing tonight was about counting our blessings, because that's basically what we're talking about tonight. The favor of the Lord. And to begin with, let's read in Genesis chapter 39. We're going to cover parts from 39 through 41. Let's go ahead. I'll read through 39 again, just kind of set the context for all of this. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you were his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master had heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Lord, I pray tonight that you would show us what it means for you to be with us and to give us success, what it means to be in your favor, what it means to know your blessings, what it means to know your grace. I pray this, Lord, in your holy name, and because of your grace. Amen. So, I started thinking about this favor. Now, I got to tell you that in the process of coming up with, okay, what are we preaching on? I sit down and I try to plan out a few months at a time. And it's an interesting process because it'd be nice to tell you that I know without a doubt that the Lord has given me every title and every passage. But many times I'll sit and I'll plan it out and say, oh, yeah, that passage, and here's a good title, that passage, here's a good title, and I'll give it to everybody at church council. And when that day shows up that I sit down, I go, okay, what is it that we're preaching on this week or today? And I open it up and go, now, what was I thinking with that? So when I saw Genesis 39 through 42, the favor of the Lord, I thought, what? Wow, how are we doing this? And so I thought, well, what is this about favor? Why did I, why was it that favor of the Lord jumped out at me when I was reading these passages? I want to point out a couple things to you. First of all, look at the first sentence. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Doesn't seem like the favor of the Lord was with Joseph at that time, right? Except if you think that Joseph should have been killed by his brothers and that the favor of the Lord was with him in selling him into slavery. But being sold into slavery isn't really high on our list. And if I was a prosperity gospel preacher, I wouldn't say come to know the Lord because you'll get sold into slavery. That's not exactly the blessings of God we look for. And so we know that he starts off in a horrible situation. And yet, in verse 2, it says the Lord was with Joseph. And so I said, the Lord was with Joseph. And he prospered. Imagine that. He prospered while a slave. And then later, if you look at verse 20, Joseph gets thrown in jail for something he doesn't do. And again, you say, doesn't seem like a very good thing to be following the Lord. It doesn't really get you anywhere but pain. But again, it says, while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So I started thinking about this, and I said, you know what? I'd like to look at the passages in the Bible that talk about the Lord's favor. Let's look up this word favor and see when it shows up. Now, you can do this yourselves with online. There's Bible programs called Bible Gateway and Bible Hub and places like that that you could just type in a word and it'll show you every passage in the Bible that has that word. I have a Bible program that does it. And so I looked up the word favor and I found out that this word favor comes from three different words in the Old Testament that can mean favor, and really just one word in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word favor can mean goodwill or countenance. You know, let his countenance shine upon me. It means his favor, his goodwill. And in the New Testament, the one word that is translated favor is the word for grace. Anybody know what the word for grace is? Charis. Charis. In fact, one of our friends named their daughter Charis. Yeah, he's a theologian. He's seminary professor. But charis means grace, which also can be translated favor in some passages. So as I started looking through the passages, then I went to some Bible dictionaries and things like that to get a better understanding for this. What are we talking about? And I realized that not only is it talking about favor here, but God was with him means the same thing. Favor or grace, the presence of God active in our life. And so I started looking up all these passages. Favor, and the Lord was with him, or the Lord was with whoever it was. And started pulling them together and came up with some viewpoints on the favor of God and the blessing of God. Another way to talk about this would be the blessings of God. Now, let me just stop here and say that a lot of people seek out God's blessing without seeking out God himself. I've talked to so many people in this neighborhood and other places who talk about wanting to be blessed by God. They want their marriage blessed by God. They want their household blessed by God. They want their job blessed by God. They'll actually call me up. I've had people call me to ask me if I will come and have a house blessing with them. You know, come and ask for the Lord's blessing over their house. Well, if they're not seeking out the Lord, then what are they really asking for? They're asking for God to give them favor without them looking for God in their lives. And that's not exactly how it works. So, put together some things that just jump out at me about God's favor or the blessings of God. So, the favor of God, first of all, it's really the act of being under God's blessings or being in his presence or being under his protection or being in his provision. And we see that here. If we look again in chapter 39, the first six verses, starting in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Now notice here it says that the Lord was with Joseph, and that resulted in the slave master giving Joseph favor. It's an interesting thing because here it's kind of like the slave master recognized the favor that God was giving Joseph and gave it himself as well. When we see it again, it sounds like God caused the person directly to show favor, and I'll point that out in a second. So it says, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. Hey. When I can't find my keys later, somebody remind me where they are. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Look then at later here, at verses 20 through 23. While Joseph was there in the prison, the end of 20, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison ward. Notice here, God granted Joseph favor in the eyes of the prison warden. When we struggle with relationships with others, when we struggle with work and things like that, I pray for God's favor. I mean, when I've been in work situations where I can't seem to get along with the person that is seems to have my whole destiny in their palm, I pray for the favor of the Lord. Lord, you led the prison warden to show favor. Can you lead this prison warden to show me favor in this job? So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now, it's an interesting thing. The Lord's idea of success in the middle of pain and trial, was Joseph going to get rich working as a prisoner in the prison? Was Joseph going to get rich as the head of all the slaves? No, he's still a slave. He's still a prisoner. I think we forget that so many times. Lord, take me out of this situation so that I'll really know your blessings. No, the Lord says, you're in this situation, and I'm going to give you my blessings through the situation, and others are going to recognize that. Okay, so the act of being under God's blessing, where you are, right, where you are. Now, God also blesses Joseph in giving him the ability to interpret dreams. In chapter 40, we find that two men wind up in prison, the cupbearer to Pharaoh, the baker for Pharaoh. They both have dreams. They're both pretty freaked out by their dreams. They don't know what to do about it. There's nobody to interpret. And Joseph says in verse 6, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. What's he saying? The Lord's blessed me, and he'll let me know what your dreams mean. So the Lord blessed him in that way, and sure enough, Joseph was able to interpret the dreams. And they seem very simple to Joseph. That's what cracks me up about this. Can you imagine? You're haunted by this dream, haunted by this dream. God sends somebody and goes, oh yeah, it's obvious. There you go. Wow. All right, and then chapter 41, we find that Pharaoh has some wicked dreams. Doesn't know what to do with them. Again, a pair of dreams. You had a pair of dreams. You had each one of these men had a dream. And now with Pharaoh, there's a pair of dreams, except he has both of them. And he's totally upset about it. No one can interpret them. And that's when the cupbearer remembers, oh, Pharaoh, I remember there's this guy in prison who interprets dreams. Go get him. And so in verse 14 of chapter 41, Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought up from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. I wonder how long his beard was at that point. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, but no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Sure enough, God tells Pharaoh through Joseph what the answer to the dream is. So how does Joseph get blessed? Well, he gets blessed by being put in charge. He gets blessed by interpreting dreams. And then, because of interpreting the Pharaoh's dreams, he gets blessed by being in charge again. And this time, he really has gained wealth and status and power and all those things. He's second in command over all of Egypt. Now, favor, then, from what we see here and from other places, favor seems to be the presence, the protection, the provision of God in our lives. The favor of God, the blessing of God. And you can read over the passage in chapter 41 about Pharaoh elevating Joseph. It's amazing. Yep. You know what? Scripture never gives us shortcuts, does it? It never gives us shortcuts. It always gives us enough that God says, okay, now you know enough. Now walk in faith for the rest. Right? Always. Abraham, go take your son, sacrifice him. I've given you enough information there. You don't know how it's going to work out, but I'll take care of it. Go to the land that I tell you about. Just go. I'm not going to show it to you ahead of time. Go across the river into the land that I've given to you, this promised land. Not going to tell you how it's going to happen. Just go. He does the same thing here. That's exactly right. Now, it's the act of being under God's blessing. And there's two senses here. In one sense, it's undeserved, the undeserved favor from God. In another sense, I can't say it's earned, but it is, it seems to be the result of faith. The favor of God is the result of faith. Now, we have to remember that faith is given to us by God, so we can't claim any of it. In fact, Joseph never claimed any of this. He didn't say, oh, guess what, Pharaoh? I can interpret dreams. Oh, you should see the way God's blessed me. You ever somebody start bragging about some spiritual gift they've been given? It just drives me crazy when somebody starts bragging about a spiritual gift. God has gifted me in this way. I do this, I do that. It's usually prophecy. Usually somebody just starts bragging about how they're a prophet. And I just think, wow, you don't sound anything like the prophets of the Old Testament who seem more burdened by the prophecy than excited about it. I mean, Jeremiah just said, Lord, you tricked me. You tricked me. It's hard to imagine being in the favor of God and actually bragging about it as if we deserved it, as if it's our wages. What did Joseph do to deserve the favor of God? Can you find anywhere in the scripture where Joseph deserved for God to be with him when he was at the first in Potiphar's house as a slave? Be joyful always. He was. He was. So let's back up. Before Joseph gets sold into slavery, what godly character do we see in his life? Yeah, before he gets sold into slavery, what do we look at Joseph and go, oh, this is a man of God here. God's definitely going to be with him. What do we see? What is it about Joseph? What do we know about Joseph's character before his brothers sell him into slavery? He was a pain in the rear end. A braggart. The little brother of all little brothers. Guess what? I got a dream that God showed me. All of y'all are going to bow down to me. Great godly character there. I mean, really, do we look at that and go, he deserved God's blessing? There's nothing that the scripture gives us to say, yeah, of course God would bless him. Right? I mean, the truth of it is, God just chose him. God just says, I'm going to use Joseph.
He was self-centered.
Yeah, he was self-centered. Now, through that, did he keep his faith? Did he show joy? Absolutely. But I would argue it's because the presence of God was with him and working through him. Okay? Not because he deserved it, because he had this innate faith inside him. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Now, he did have faith. Absolutely, he had faith. It could be. At the very least, he's got no tact. At the very least, he's got no tact. I don't buy that. I don't buy that because nobody in his family, he was raised in a Christian family. Right. But wait, Judy. Judy, to say that this was a Christian family, this was an incredibly dysfunctional family. Okay, so Jacob had faith, but somehow that faith didn't even go as far as his wives, not even his most loved wife. She's still got her father's household gods when they go to leave Laban. Okay, so the influence, to say this was a quote-unquote, like, Christian family, God-focused family, there's nothing that supports that.
Yeah, but there's still no support, really, that he was, the way he pronounced.
There's not. So my point is, Scripture never shows us anything to say, you know what, he deserved God's favor. That's my whole of the point. No, just my whole point to begin with is, which one are we going to assume? I would rather assume that none of us deserve God's favor, because that's what Scripture tells me. Right. Go to Luke chapter 2. Absolutely. Go to Luke chapter 2. And that's why I say there is an aspect of this where, okay, none of us deserves God's favor. There is also an aspect of this that we know that if we walk in faith with the Lord, we will have God's favor. Okay, so, but I just want to make sure that we realize that we don't deserve it. It's not a right of ours. It's not a, I know if I'm this righteous, God's favor will definitely give me everything I want. And I hear that all the time. So I hear this all the time when I tell somebody about a blessing. Well, of course, you're a godly man. You deserve that. And I say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that's a dangerous way to think. It shows up in the, my house was spared by Katrina. I pray all the time. Wow, I know a lot of people that pray quite a bit, and their houses were destroyed, and their family was washed away. So we have to be very careful with this. What is the favor of God, and do we deserve it? Look in Luke chapter 2, verse 24. Verse 24. Not 24. Hang on a second. It should be. There you go. Verse 14. Not 24. That's supposed to be a 1. Chapter 2, verse 14. Verse 13 says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Mankind, God is showing his favor on mankind through the birth of their Savior. Does mankind deserve God's favor? We learn in Genesis chapter 9, I think it's 9, after the flood, God says, I'm not going to send another flood to destroy mankind, even though their hearts are always wicked. So if mankind's heart is always wicked, always evil, does mankind deserve for God to send this favor, the Savior? No. Okay, so in the one sense, I just want to hammer this home. We don't deserve God's favor. It's nothing we've done. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No. Did we do anything to deserve being born in this country and not being hacked to death right now by ISIS going through our country? Right? Just loves you. Have you ever seen a parent love their child despite all the wickedness that child did? A child did nothing but rebel, nothing but terrorize the family, and yet that parent says, I don't care. I love them anyway. None of us deserve his love. He chose to love us. Okay? All right. Now, in one sense, we don't deserve God's love at all. In another sense, yes, it does come with faith. Absolutely. And this is where the prosperity gospels get their ammunition when they say things like, you know, give to God and he'll give back to you and you'll have everything you want and he'll answer. You know, and if you ever watch any of the 700 Club or whatever it is, they always show the person that got rich because they started attending church over and over and over. I mean, I've only watched probably 2 hours in my entire life of the 500 or 700 Club, whatever the heck it is. And every time I've watched it, I've seen nothing but these testimonies of somebody who started to love Jesus and they got filthy, stinking rich. Okay? Now, is there any basis in Scripture for that? Actually, there are passages. In the Old Testament, it's rich with the favor of God leading to wealth and monetary things. And look at Joseph. God favors Joseph. He is with him. First, he's with him in slavery. Second, he's with him in jail. Third, he's with him as second in command to all of Egypt. If that's not the prosperity gospel, I don't know what is. I mean, you preach that, tell people get saved, and you're going to get second in command over everything. Now, don't have time to go through all this. But I have down here some verses that you can look up, and so I just want to summarize some. First time we see this, Abel and Cain giving their sacrifices, the sons of Adam and Eve. And it says that God looked on Abel's sacrifice with favor, but on Cain's sacrifice he did not look with favor. And Cain, it says, got mad. and then murdered his brother. Noah, God's favor rested upon him. God was with him, the Bible says. And it also says that Noah was a righteous man. Yes. Cain and Abel seem to be a result of their actions. That's why I say there's what I'm saying is there seem to be both threads here. Okay? And if I strictly want to preach from a prosperity gospel thread, I have plenty of ammunition. But it's not the whole of Scripture. You're shortchanging what it really is. Same with Noah. All of mankind was wicked in God's sight. And then it says, his favor rests on Noah, and then the next sentence it says, Noah was a righteous man. So, did God pick Noah because he was righteous? Moses. Go to this passage. I love this one. Exodus chapter 33. Shoot, we're going to run out of time. I don't know why we always run out of time. Couldn't possibly because of me. Exodus 33, verses 12 and 13, and I think this should be our prayer. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and have found, and you have found favor with me." It's an interesting. Moses is like, Lord, you said that I found favor with you. You said that you have goodwill towards me. Your countenance is upon me. I am in your hand, in your protection, in your provision. And verse 13, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you. And continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. What an incredible prayer. Lord, you have told me that through Christ and my faith in him, I have your favor. Please teach me what that means. Show me how to walk in your favor so that I will continue to grow in it. That should be our prayer all the time. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Favor of God, his presence is with us, and we can find rest in him. Okay, you can look through the rest, and I will tell you over and over and over, in these passages we find that God blesses them, and it talks about their faith in the Lord. There is faith and blessing all combined. Why? Because without faith, no one can please God. But with faith, we please God and walk with God, and walking with God is the favor of God. Now, I'm going to ignore the clock. I have to also say, in every one of the cases that I looked up, that it said the Lord was with them, or the Lord's favor rested upon them. And by the way, Mary and Elizabeth, favor of the Lord was upon them. Okay, the Lord was with them. You know, the Catholics go kind of crazy with Mary, and they decide that this word favor means, what do they say? Most blessed, is that what they say? Most blessed. Okay, as if she's the only one that was ever said about. They take this word and they specify it just for her. It's weird, but in all the cases of God's blessings, God's favor. And by the way, did you ever know that Samuel and Jesus, the same phrase is used in both of them as children? And they grew in stature and favor with God and man. And I've always prayed, Lord, let me grow in stature and favor with you and man. Samuel. I did? I meant Samuel. I'm sorry. Samuel. Okay. Now, responsibility has come with every one of these folks. Joseph was given responsibility. Every time we see the Lord was with Joseph, all of a sudden he's got more responsibility. Isn't that funny? Because most people I know, when they're asking for the blessings of God, don't ask for responsibility. They just want blessings so they can sit on their butt. With blessing comes responsibility. Noah had the favor of God. He also is told to build an ark when nobody's ever seen rain. Moses had so much favor of God, he got the special job to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land and hear them bicker and complain the entire way. And every time some miraculous thing by God happened, the next day, they're bickering and complaining again. And he got to be the one in charge of them all. And yet, because of the favor of God, he loved those people so much that when God said, Moses, get out of the way, I'm about to wipe them all out, he said, no, Lord, take me instead. Don't do such a thing. Gideon, mighty warrior, says that the Lord is with him. He says, if, Lord, you are truly with me and your favor truly rests upon me, then let me give you an offering. It's the very beginning of the passage about Gideon. What's Gideon get to do? Well, he gets to lead an army of nothing against an army that's across the hillside, just spread all out like you can't tell one person from another. 300 against 32,000? Samuel becomes the last judge, the high priest, the prophet. He was the Messiah archetyped. David, Solomon, Hezekiah were all kings that had to lead their people. Mary and Elizabeth had to carry both Mary the Messiah, Elizabeth the forerunner to the Messiah, John the Baptist. And then we have to understand that all of these passages that I use to show you that this person was righteous and they had the blessing of God, I could have used Abraham. Didn't use the same wording, but it's obvious that Abraham was under God's blessing. All of those people, we see them gain notoriety or wealth or status. But then when we get to the New Testament, all of a sudden we don't see those things come with God's favor. We know that God's favor was upon the disciples, the apostles. Jesus called them to himself. He sent them out. He says, I will be with you, lo, until the end of the age. Okay? He's going to be with them. And yet, they didn't have any money. They didn't have any power. They didn't have any notoriety. They had notoriety. But in Acts 3, it says that the Sanhedrin, the council of the Jewish elders, that they had to get pulled before basically the court, said when they saw that these were ordinary, unschooled men, they took note that they had been with Jesus. There was no money, there was no power in these guys. Jesus himself, when it was time for the temple tax, tells Peter to go find a fish, and there's going to be 4 drachmas in there, 2 for your tax, 2 for mine. Okay? He didn't have the money in his pocket. Whatever pockets he had lint in them probably and nothing more. So, since we don't see this same pattern in the New Testament, could it be that the blessing of God, the favor of God, isn't what the prosperity gospel preachers tell us? It's not health and wealth. Could it just be the very presence of God in that he forgives our sin? The relationship that we have, that we are not condemned, but we get to be in his presence and have him indwell in us and live through us. That's the blessing. And that's why this whole thing doesn't work. Yeah, he loves me in spite of me. What a wonderful thing that is. But that's why this whole preaching of health and wealth doesn't work. That's why if I get up here and I tell you about all these Old Testament passages and tell you, oh, walk with God and all this will occur, it's missing the point. Those things are nothing. Money and prestige and all those things stink. Considered rubbish by the Apostle Paul. That's exactly right. He had all those things and he left it all behind so that he could have Christ and him crucified. The gain, the blessing, the favor of God is God himself. That beats all. one of the songs we sang, I just kept thinking, wow, this one goes along with the sermon. Wow, this one goes along with the sermon. One of the ones we sang was, I don't even remember now, but it was something about the future life. What? Anybody remember what we sang? Oh, anyway. I don't remember, but I remember just going, wow, look at that. But it's the hope that we have in Christ. And that's why, let me read to you what Jesus says when he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And he gets up in the temple in Luke chapter 4. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We're living in the year of the Lord's favor. We're living in the age of God's grace being poured out on mankind. That's why the angel said, "His favor on whom his favor rests." Okay? Talking about mankind, God's favor rests on mankind because Jesus Christ came as our Savior to bring salvation to us. In 2 Corinthians, and we'll close with this, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, 'In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.'" That's the favor and blessing of God, our salvation. And that's enough. And that's what we seek, his presence. And I can guarantee you one thing about this one. We don't deserve it, but we will have the blessings of God if we seek it, because it's in the salvation of our souls. Lord, we love you and give you praise and thank you. You are enough. You are everything. Lord, you are your blessings. So we seek out your presence. And Lord, so many times we just want to see your hand move in our lives. We just want to see you do something to provide or protect. The truth is, Lord, your presence is what we need mostly, more than anything else. You'll take care of all the needs, because your presence is there. Thank you for your salvation and your presence in our lives. I praise you in Christ. Amen.